Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have. So give us a call, set up your session today.
I am super excited to announce our upcoming event, Sniff, Sip, and Listen, an Herbal Dog Day Out. This is your chance to relax, learn, and enjoy some tail wagging fun with your pup by your side. We are going to kick off the night before with a live webinar where I'm going to talk about how dogs use body language to avoid conflict. And the following night, we will be at Urban Dog Bar in Nashville. It is Nashville's favorite off-leash hangout. We're going to have a special book reading and signing with canine herbalist Rita Hogan. Regan will share highlights and insights from her new book on holistic dog care, offering practical ways to support your dog naturally from the inside out, all while you sip on your favorite adult beverage and enjoy some great food, while your dog can play freely off-leash with supervisors keeping an eye on them. And then following the talk and the signing, we will be doing a hands-on observation in the play yard with dog language. So I really hope you guys can enjoy us. It's only $65 per person. You cannot beat that. And that includes Rita's new book. So if you want to join, find the link in the show notes. You can also find the information on our website. Sign up. Tickets are limited. That is going to be August the 28th. So super excited about that, with Rita coming in all the way from Washington State to give you guys the knowledge that you desperately want when using more of a holistic approach when dealing with your dog. I also have a canine communication seminar coming up on understanding that body language to avoid conflict. This is going to be the full seminar, the full two and a half hour seminar. That is going to be online, so webinar, I guess, instead of a seminar. And that's going to be August the 10th. That is Sunday, August the 10th. Tickets are only $24.99. This is going to give you a full live version of our communication seminar with a question and answer session. So if you want to sign up for any of that, get on our website. Be sure you sign up. We have some wonderful things coming up. Now, as we get into today's episode, we are going to follow along with what we've been talking about as far as suppression and how suppression is something that a lot of balance trainers do. I say a lot, most balance trainers and aversive trainers basically suppress your dog's behavior in order to make it look like they've done something. And if you've not watched our YouTube videos on my response, as well as really good examples on what that looks like, please check it out, because there are some really good examples of suppression of behavior, all in the name of dog training, and I can't stand that. We've talked about a little bit on human behavior that's being, you know, been suppressed, and emotions and feelings and things of that nature. We are not going to talk about that today. What we are going to talk about today is the path to recovery when we're dealing with suppression, right? Your dog's been suppressed and you say, Nikki, how do we get through this, right? How do I help my dog feel again? Right? How do I help my dog decompress and learn how to just be a dog again? That is what we are going to talk about today. So sit back and get ready, and let's heal you and your dog. So this might be a little bit of a heavy episode for you guys. I mean, not that the suppression of behavior and emotions was not heavy. It was heavy for me. And I hope that you guys have had a chance to just kind of sit back and look at your dog and think about how that relationship has looked and what you know, what we have possibly done to unintentionally suppress behavior. So don't worry. I'm going to give you some things that you can start to do to help your dog and start to rebuilding kind of this relationship to a relationship that is beneficial to both you and your dog. Because let's be real, it's about a relationship with two organisms, right? And if you have a partner, it might be a relationship with three organisms. And the more you add in there, the more it complicates things, right? So in our household, we have, let's say we have six animals and then there's two of us. So that means there's eight different organisms living in this house with different thought processes, different genetics, different ideas, different traumas, different past, different upbringing. And I'm not just talking the four-legged, right? There, with Britt and I, we were raised differently. We handled trauma differently. We deal with things differently. And so learning about all of that, there are mistakes that are going to be made. And when we realize that those mistakes are there and we realize that there are better ways of doing things, as long as we get on that right track, right, we're good. And there's no reason to hang on to guilt. There's no reason to hang on to, you know, all the misery that may have occurred in the relationship. No, we can move forward once we know what we need to do. So we're going to start out talking about rebuilding trust on this path of recovery, because the trust is a huge part of that relationship. And it's not just you trusting your dog, but your dog trusting you again, right? You may have a dog who, it may not be this bad, right? The dog may still come to you and ask for attention and love on you, but you just notice some different moments where your dog just kind of slinks away or tries to avoid things. This could be from that suppression. Either way, whether you have a dog with suppressed behavior or not, there are some really good things that you can do to just improve your relationship overall. So even if you've not suppressed behavior, your dog's never dealt with that, there are still some things that you may learn with this episode. So don't click off just yet. All right, let's get moving on rebuilding trust. As we all know, trust is one of the most important things of any relationship, the most important kind of aspect of it. Doesn't matter how much you care or love, if there's no trust there, then it just gets skewed. So let's start out with rebuilding trust with your dog. The first thing I want you to think about is how your behavior, your daily behavior, has possibly created the scenario that you're in, the situation that you're in, that your dog is, you know, suppressed, not feeling completely themselves. Again, no guilt. No guilt. It's just about awareness. We want to be aware of what we've done to get us here. And once we're aware of that, then we can start working on it. So with rebuilding trust, first you want to allow your dog to initiate the interactions, right? Allow them to approach when they're comfortable. Allow them to move about whatever their comfort level may be. And this may be just from, you know, a rescue dog that you've just adopted and you have no history with this dog, but the dog is feeling suppressed. Letting them initiate interaction. So not encouraging them to come up to you, not necessarily invading their space constantly, right? Just kind of maybe going over, petting them a little bit and walking away. Let them kind of initiate that follow through. Sometimes I will pet Willow and I'll just pet for a few seconds, especially when she's not initiated. I'll just go pet on her a little bit because I need it. And then I'll stop and allow her to choose if she would like for me to continue or if she'd like to be left alone. Because I can't say, hey, are you okay if I rub on you? She can't look at me and be like, sure. So I have to go with that body language. But if you have a dog who has been suppressed, letting them initiate the interactions will build trust, with that, because they're going to learn that you will respect their fear and their nervousness. And that, again, comes back to that communication, that body language that dogs use to communicate, to avoid conflict, to avoid confrontation, and to just avoid stress in general, and to deal with stress that they may be feeling in their body. If you can observe and respect that communication and give that communication in return, you're going to rebuild that trust so much faster. You guys have heard me talk about the communication seminar. It truly is, to me, the backbone to everything in this relationship. Understanding how they communicate and how they use that body language is truly crucial to knowing where they're coming from and even where they're going, right? So if you've not done the communication seminar, we have an on-demand that you can get, or you can do the live version that's coming up. But you truly need to learn what it is about body language and dog communication. When you start to observe and respect that, that will build confidence, that will build that relationship up so quickly. And this is why a lot of my client dogs that I go and see that have fear aggression, that have maybe some aggression towards strangers, I don't typically get that towards me, because I go in with the attitude of respecting their signals, using some of the same signals to communicate back to them that I'm not a threat, that I'm going to be respectful. And there are times where I may see a client 3 or 4 times and never touch that dog. And that's okay. I don't need to. But even though that dog may not want to initiate interaction, there's still trust that's being built up because I'm being respectful and I'm not trying to push things. And I know that we want to fix things quickly. We want to say, you know what, I'm sorry, let's fix this, let's just get back to normal. But we don't want normal, right? If our normal has been suppressed behavior, that's not what we want. Instead, we want to slow down our expectations, okay? We're not fixing. We're just going to kind of listen to what our dogs need, what our dogs want, what our dogs do in order to feel comfortable, right? So observing, respecting their communication, let them initiate some interaction, and just, again, slow down your expectations. Let's just start fresh. Just breathe together, hang out together, watch TV together. Right? Watch them chew on a bone together. And I don't mean them chewing on a bone and you're on your phone scrolling. Get off the phone for a few minutes and just sit with your dog. Take 2 to 3 minutes and really just sit with your dog. You don't even have to be interacting with them. Sometimes it's just being. Now, the other that we really have to look at, and this kind of goes with that communication, when dogs have been suppressed, they're afraid to exhibit any behavior. Therefore, they just really shut down, and they have kind of learned that helplessness to say, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to not do anything. I'm just going to sit here. We want to help them to feel comfortable in expressing that emotion again. So encouraging some expression is really good. Now, you can do this through reinforcing natural behaviors such as sniffing, exploring new areas, barking, of course, appropriately, right? So if your dog likes to bark at something during play, encourage it, right? It's like encouraging a kid where it's appropriate to scream and yell, right? On the playground, in a bouncy house. These are great opportunities just to let it out. So sometimes we just want to allow our dogs to express themselves naturally. You can offer choices to where it might be a walk, or they may want to do something like some ACE free work. Maybe they want to go rest and chew on a bone. Oftentimes, I'll set out harness, snuffle mat, maybe a ball, and just be like, hey, Willow, what do you want to do? You pick. Same way I just sometimes let her pick out her own collar. You pick. Giving that choice can help to build the confidence up, and kind of rebuild that trust to where you're basically telling them, I care about your thoughts. I care about your preferences, right? So make sure that you just kind of look at your environment and say, where can I plug this in? Where can I plug in expression, encouragement? Just look at what you have. Every situation is going to be a little different. The third thing is about emotional safety. You've heard me talk about spa rooms. Giving our dogs a location where they can go and be alone and be calm is very important. Myers chooses under the bed in Britt's room. Isabella often would choose the other side of the bed in my room because there's only one entry exit from that spot. She's literally closed in completely. And then Willow just doesn't really pick a place yet because she's still all over the place. We're still figuring some things out with her. So she hasn't quite figured it out, but her safe zone is her crate and her spa room is her safe zone. What I have recognized, matter of fact, this happened the other day, I gave her a really high value bone to chew on. Normally I would put her somewhere, but it was just she and I in the house with a cat or two. And I thought, you know what, here's a bone, you go chew on that, I've got some work to do. And she took it to her crate and she laid in her crate with the doors open because she knows that's her safe place. No one's gonna bother her. Cats aren't gonna come try to sniff to see what she has. She felt safe there to chew on her bone. So she learned to regulate her emotions while chewing on that bone by being in her safe place. So the spa room, I think, is critical. And when we open it up and keep it open, the dogs will learn that that's where they can go. And as a human, we need to respect that and say, okay, if that's where you need to be, I'll check on you, make sure you're good, but then I'm gonna leave you alone. So safe zones are important. Predictability and consistency, important. Now, I am not a fan of routines. I don't like the word. I don't like the thought of a routine. And that's my personal issue. But truly, what I mean by that is I don't think a routine that happens every single day from, say, you do the same thing 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every single day. I don't know how realistic that is for your dog. I know as humans, we can understand when things just don't work out, right? We can understand when our typical morning routine doesn't work out. Does it throw us off a little bit? Sometimes, but sometimes we make that choice, and so we're okay. Your dog can't make the choice whether the routine works or not. They don't understand that the routine didn't work today. That can really throw some dogs off, especially dogs who have low confidence, especially dogs who have had behavior suppressed. What I would rather say is let's have predictability, patterns, during those times where you do your routines. Routines such as feeding. We know we're going to feed every day. We know we're going to feed every day. Once, twice, three times. But we know we're going to feed every day. It may not be the same time every day, therefore not having a life routine of we eat at this time. What we can do, though, is have predictability and patterns for when we are feeding. So I may not feed at 9 o'clock every morning, but when I do feed, it's the same thing. You eat in the same place. You go, you know, to the same area, you stay in there for 30 minutes after you eat. It's the same pattern that we do. That just creates that safety. They understand. They don't have to wonder what's next. And with that emotional safety, with our safe zones and our predictability, we can also use that spa room for decompression, enrichment. But we can also add in other ways of decompression with sniffy walks, maybe tossing some food into the grass outside to where we're allowing some natural kind of foraging in a more natural environment, right? So instead of a snuffle mat, just the grass area, which is more natural for some dogs. So that is, again, just look at what your dog enjoys. And if your dog enjoys it, you can do it. And sometimes it is trial and error. Keep a journal. I tried XYZ with my dog, and this is how they responded. If that's the first time you've tried it, don't mark it off as, well, it didn't work. It may take several times, and keeping a journal will help you to see whether it is working or whether it is something that you need to adjust. But we don't know if we don't write things down, because trust me when I say, we ain't going to remember shit, y'all. Let's be real. We're not going to remember. Good for you if you think you can. Sorry, I've got to drink some water because I'm having these summer allergies just the last 2 days. Drives me crazy. We do want to ensure that we are supporting your dog's overall system. So, of course, nutrition, ensuring that what you're feeding your dog is good for their gut, which is in turn good for their brain. So remember, gut-brain axis. The gut is the second brain. So be sure that they're both working well, but we have to ensure that the gut's working well to ensure the brain and the head is working well. You can go back and listen to some of those episodes. I will tell you that I just did a 5-strands test on food sensitivities or intolerances for Willow. And I just got them back and I was looking over them before started recording this episode. I have been feeding her chicken for the last few days. And when I fed her chicken a couple weeks ago, consistently, I noticed her behavior was just out of control. And I'm just like, whew, I don't think chicken is good for you. So I started recognizing that. And then I get the results back, and guess what, guys? She cannot have chicken. So she has a chicken intolerance. It just creates imbalances in her. Right now, we are yin deficient, so I'm going to be working on that, giving her a different diet for that. But I will tell you, if you've not done the 5-strands, it is worth $100 to know what you shouldn't be feeding your dog. I've had her on some digestive enzymes. Turns out, some of those in her probiotics, there are some things of her probiotics she cannot have. There's sweet potatoes that I was feeding she can't have, which is a part, I think, well, no, it's the butternut squash. It's part of the yin deficiency. But, like, there are things that I try to help with, but looking at her system individually, she cannot have some of these. So it's going to make a huge difference in her being able to regulate her emotions and learn to regulate her emotions. Right. So again, we have to make sure that gut is healthy. So if your dog is not having good solid poop, not fragmented, not loose and wet, not mucousy, consistent, not too hard, so not crumbly. If your dog is not showing regulated emotions, especially after eating, if their temperatures change after they're eating, right? Check their ears. Before they eat, check their ears 30 minutes after they eat. Is there a difference there? These are all little things that can tell you your dog is not eating the right things. Along with feeding well, you can also look at things like massage, right? Helping your dog regulate their emotions through massage, through Tellington T-Touch. If you've not heard of T-Touch, it's Tellington Touch. It is a purposeful way of doing some things such as acupressure to help your dog regulate. So really good body work that you can do, acupuncture, acupressure, spinal manipulation, right? You can find yourself a holistic veterinarian, someone who does traditional Chinese medicine. These are all things that you can do to help your dog learn to feel the emotions again. Because we have to feel them to heal them. So suppression, again, not healthy, not healthy at all. There are different herbs that we can use. If you don't have Rita's book, The Herbal Dog, highly recommend it. It will break down how to use herbs and what you can use to help your dog. So find yourself a holistic vet, you know, or if you are working with someone that works with behavior, if they are not comfortable using holistic meds, have them refer you to another canine behavior specialist or behaviorist who does focus on a more holistic approach. Because we look at things from a holistic viewpoint and from an ethological lens. So we're not going to just look at your dog as the same as the dog next door. We really want to take in consideration all of your dog's needs, the nutritional needs, right? Is the dog having some pain and discomfort? Will massage, you know, work with this? Can you do some things? Massage isn't always the answer for every dog because some dogs have a problem with touch sensitivity due to suppression of behavior, their learning history. If they've had a, you know, poor experience of someone doing fake bites to them and, you know, kind of punching them in the neck with their fingers from that trainer that was on TV for a while, yeah, they're probably not going to see massage as something positive. But these are some ideas that you'll need to kind of look at and say, what do you think works with your dog? And only you're going to know that. But I can help you. I can help you by, you know, kind of looking at it from a different lens so that you're not overwhelmed. And you please reach out if you do need that. Just know that there are so many things that we can do to help your dog, that it's not as simple as just obedience training and decompression. It's not as simple as enrichment and good nutrition. It's a combination of a lot of things. So your dog's learning history, your dog's environment, your dog's genetics, your dog's individual needs, feelings, emotions, desires. So just be patient when we are talking about recovery from suppression. Okay, so patience is really important. Some steps I want you to start taking today is I want you to really start that journal. I promise you, I know it sounds like extra work, but you're already working too hard as it is, and it's not giving you the results that you want. You're listening to this episode because you want results and you want to make a difference. You want to make a change. You're going to start with that journal. Okay, I want you to start with that journal, and it can be something as simple as, I notice my dog likes this. I notice my dog does this. My dog likes to nap between this time and that time. My dog really gets excited when this happens. I tried this type of lick mat with this type of food and my dog didn't touch it. So there's just different things that we can put down because again, we're not going to remember it. We're not going to remember it. Allow your dog to just be themselves. Take them to a sniff spot. This is a really good thing to do. Take them to a sniff spot where they can be off leash. I would go somewhere that has some, maybe some wooded areas, not just an open field. You can do an open field, but I would love to see something that maybe has some woods here or there. And just let your dog off leash and then just observe. You can talk to your dog when they come back and check on you, but I want you to observe. Just sit back and observe. Video them. Video them so you can go back and watch it. By observing your dog, you can learn a whole lot of what they like, dislike, and kind of who they are. And that freedom also will allow them to maybe learn what they like, because maybe they've not ever had the opportunity to truly just try different things without that fear of repercussions. I mean, if you think about suppressing behavior, they were punished for trying things. They were punished for trying things, but it's the, you know, the things that the human didn't want, they got punished for it. And so they just stopped trying. And that is a miserable existence. So by taking them somewhere and just letting them try things, man, that's going to do a whole lot for your dog. Even if your dog doesn't want to even move, right? If your dog just kind of goes in there and just sits next to you because they're too afraid, at that point, you can encourage them a little bit and just start walking. Just start walking the area yourself. You're not setting any expectations for your dog. I say setting expectations, I should rephrase that. You're not demanding anything from your dog. You're just being there together and enjoying the environment. You don't have to play. You don't need to take a ball. Just observe. Just see what your dog does in an area that's just natural. No toys. No real interaction with you other than like checking in, talking a little bit. Mr. Rogers hack, absolutely. But not hovering, not commanding, not requesting, just being. Okay. I would also love to see you decrease the use of commands. Decrease the use of directives. Now, direct your dog when they're feeling lost and they need that guidance. Absolutely. But if we can decrease us telling them what to do and help set them up into making decisions, we're going to allow them to learn more about themselves and to feel again. Right? We want them to feel safe emotionally, physically, and by giving them their safe space, by decreasing our demands and decreasing our expectations will make a world of difference. Now, predictability and patterns, set those up when you are doing things naturally. So again, if you're feeding every day, which you are, you can create predictability during those times. But don't think that you need to create a routine. You don't need to do the same thing every day at the same time, unless that's just something you need. But in order to help your dog, they don't necessarily need that because they can't understand when the routine fails. Learn about communication. If I say this once a podcast, it's not enough. 100 times I need to say it. You need to learn how to read your dog's body language and how they communicate. How they communicate. Because if we don't know that, we cannot have a mutual relationship that is safe for both or for all. And you're not going to create that bond that you truly need in order to get both of your needs met. If you are struggling with your dog's behavior being suppressed, or you're afraid that you are suppressing their behavior, reach out to us. We can help you. We can help you. We can work together as a team to figure out what's the best path forward to creating the relationship of your dreams. But I will tell you, the first thing I'm going to tell you to do, watch the dog communication seminar or webinar. Join me for that. Because I don't talk about that in our private lessons because I don't want to take away that time when it's something you can do on your own or you can join in with a webinar. But you need it. You need it. It is critical and it's crucial. I hope this has helped give you some ideas on how to move forward. Let go of the guilt. Look at your dog as an individual. And just reset. Just reset. I hope to see you guys at one of the events, whether it's our August 10th communication seminar, whether it's August 28th, or I should say August 27th via webinar, and then August 28th in person with Rita. If you've not gotten her book and you're not local, you can find her book at theherbaldog.com. I will link the website in our show notes. Because if you're not local, you still need that book. If you are local and you want to come to our event, the ticket price includes a book. So you don't have to buy that. But we would love to have you. We would love to see you. And we would love to work with you, right? We would love to work with you. This is right up my alley, right? We've all had those moments of suppression. I understand my behavior has been suppressed in the past. My emotions have been suppressed in the past. And I have suppressed my own dog's emotions in the past when I first started out training. And then I now see it across the board. And I see it a lot with dogs who have been trained using aversive techniques, whether that's in a balanced form or whether that was in straight up aversion. So just know that there's help for you and there's help for your dog. There's never really a time where we say, "Nah, you just totally screwed up. It's over. There's nothing else we can do." That is very, very, very rare. And just because you've worked with two or three people doesn't mean that they know everything that can be done. I don't know everything that can be done. I have my specialty. I am good at it, but I don't know everything, right? I may need to send you to a holistic veterinarian. I may need to send you to a canine nutritionist who specializes in the energetics of food. I may need to send you to someone who understands herbs better, like Rita. Honey, we got a village here. I work with a village. And, you know, sometimes it just takes working alongside someone who can just talk it out with you. So if you need that, please reach out to us. We'd be happy to help you. I want to help you. That's why I do this podcast. We don't get paid for this podcast. We have no support for this podcast. There are no advertisers for this podcast. I do it because I want to help you guys have the relationship with your dog that I know is an amazing feel because I've had it. And I'm creating it with Willow, and it's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, it's helping me become better at relationships with all organisms. If you could do me a big favor, if you could rate and review wherever you listen and share the podcast, that would be great. The more listeners, the better. Because, hey, maybe one day we can get paid to do the podcast. If you've not signed up for the newsletter, please be sure you go to the website and sign up. If you've signed up for the newsletter but you're not receiving the newsletter, could you please go sign up again? We may have had an issue with our button. Because I've had a couple of people reach out and say, "Hey, you know what? I signed up for the newsletter, but I'm not getting anything." We are sending newsletters out weekly. So if you're not getting it and you've checked your spam box, please go and sign up again. You can sign up just on dogspeak101.com at the bottom of the page. You should be able to just sign up right there. Our newsletters go out on Wednesdays. So I will be sending one out tomorrow. So if you've signed up and you don't get it tomorrow and it's not in your spam box, please go back and sign up again or shoot me an email and I will sign you up myself. And let's see, lastly, what was the other thing I wanted to tell you guys? Oh goodness, I forgot. Okay, I guess then that's all I have. So rate, review. If you've worked with me personally, if you could even do a Google review, that would be awesome, right? We want people to know that we're still here, 30 years experience here. We want people to know that we're here and we are here to help you. I hope you guys have a wonderful and amazing rest of your week.